Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. It takes a team for sure. I would be lost without Stephen, Rob, Crystal, of course, and Jacob. So I want to say it definitely takes a team, like it takes a village. And this morning, if you have YouVersion, or you have a phone or an app or an iPad like I do, go ahead and click on YouVersion. You can go to the live section, and there you'll find our notes for today. And I feel like I'm following up this huge thing that just happened up here. That was just an amazing, amazing moment, and I'm so thankful to have been a part of that. That just gave me the feels for sure. I don't know if you're here today and you can say it as well with your soul, or if you're just kind of going through some things and you haven't quite been able to say it's well yet. I hope today's talk kind of allows you to process some of that and will get you to a point where you will be able to say it is well. So the past few weeks here at Next Level Church and online, because we missed a service, we've been talking about stretching, and we were created to stretch. I don't know if you know that, but we were created to stretch and do some stretching. So it is a necessity to stretch, not just physically, but spiritually. And I want to start by seeing if you guys would want to stand up with me and do some stretches, like we're at the gym. So here you go. Everybody stand up. Even you in the back if you can. Stand up. We're going to stretch up to the ceiling. We're going to stretch up high. Really high. Feel it. Oh, good. Okay, and you're going to stretch out way low, way low. It hurts. It hurts so good, Rob. It hurts so good. Hurts so good. Okay, so you can hear me really well. I need you to stretch some ears. Stretch your ears. Good listening. We do this with the kids, right? Get your listening ears on. All right, stretch your eyes real big so you can see everything. Okay, now you can sit down. Thank you. Stretching, right? It hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit, especially in the morning. But you know, athletes stretch all the time. They stretch when they get ready to work out. They stretch before a game. They're always stretching. And if you can think in your mind when an athlete stretch, I think about Michael Jordan when he goes up to dunk. You know, that stretch, that reach, that jump. Exactly. It's like vivid in my mind. Even his tongue was like stretching. Like his tongue would stretch out. He'd be like, ah! I think about football players, you know, who are in the end zone and they're going to reach for that catch to make the Super Bowl touchdown. I think about baseball players. Well, let's just be real. No one thinks about baseball players. But I think about baseball players, and, you know, before the ball goes over the fence, they're running and they're reaching, and they want to catch that before a person standing by catches it, or it goes over the fence. So we're always stretching. Athletes are always stretching. A runner who's running the race before they cross the finish line is stretching out to hit that line before the person behind them. We're stretching. They stretch. People want their clothes to stretch. I want my clothes to stretch around the holidays, right? I want my money to stretch all the time. And I think around here, we see a lot of women who are stretching when they're giving birth or before they get ready to give birth. We see a lot of pregnant women in this building in the last few months who've gone through some stretching and some growing, and it's painful. Stretching is painful, but necessary. I was at the gym the other day, which would mean 2 weeks ago. I was at the gym. So I've been on vacation, and then my family was here, and last week I just didn't get there. But 2 weeks ago I was at the gym, and it was memorable, to say the least. I had to do this stretch, and it felt more like torture or a torture chamber than it really felt like I was at the gym and doing anything good. I literally had to take a PVC pipe about yay round, and they had to put it on my back, and I had to lay on the floor and raise my hands over my head, and then I had to lift this area. Now, this is a big area for most people. This is the area you had to lift off the ground. And I think I yelled out, "Dear Jesus," because the people in the gym on the other side laughed at me. And they were like, "Yeah, we've been there. We've done that." It was so painful. And then they had to roll on it, and you had to stretch your back out. And I heard everything popping. And, oh, it just was, it was awful. It really was. But I thought for that moment, let's just please stop. And we did. We stopped. And it went away. But the effects of that stretch lasted a lot longer. Through the next week, I felt good. I felt some mobility in my shoulders that I hadn't felt. And I was like, wow, that I could do that stretch maybe every day if it would create the feeling that I had a few days later. So with that being said, stretching is a little pain now to avoid big pain later. That's where we're going to kind of sit and land today. The stretching is a little pain now to avoid big pain later. And because some of you who know me know that I work with kids in our church, we're going to do a couple visuals. We're going to need some visuals so you guys can get the stretching idea. So I need a volunteer, and I'm going to pick Jessica Hill because she's just like awesome. Okay, so Jessica, come up here. Okay, and Courtney, since you're in the second row, we're going to do this. I know, but you can stay there. I was going to bring it to you. Just stand right there in the second row. And this is a bullseye. Can everybody see that? And you're going to hold this up for me. Can you? Okay, awesome. Over their heads so they don't get hit. Okay, now Jessica, come on up on stage with me. All right, so I got permission to do this. And I know in recent events this might be in poor taste, but I have a rubber band gun. I don't want it to offend anybody, but I did bring a rubber band gun to church. I wish I could have brought one of these when I was a kid to church, but I wasn't allowed. And my parents can verify that because they're sitting over there. all right, so rubber bands, here you go.
Okay.
Are created to stretch. I want you to do something for me. I need you to take this rubber band just like this, and I need you to throw it at Courtney at the bullseye and see if you can make it. Just throw it. Okay. Just throw it.
All
right. No, it did not work at all. For those of you in the back who can't see because the sign is there, she didn't hit it. She didn't hit it. It was bad. Okay, so now we have the rubber band gun with a rubber band on it. Jessica, you get to shoot this. Now, I need you to aim. Don't hit Sarah or Monica, okay, or Joan. I need both Sarah and Joan for the next service in the kids' room. So I need you to shoot that at that sign and try to hit it.
Don't move it anymore. You're
running away. Do it again. Click it again. Oh, click twice. Oh!
Yeah!
Did you hear that? Thank you so much. You may sit down. Courtney, just hold that sign for, you just keep it. We'll use it next service. All right. So do you see the difference? When you take a rubber band and you just throw it, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't go very far. It doesn't even create its purpose. The rubber band needs to be stretched. And in that moment when we had it on the rubber band gun and it was stretched tight, it flew a lot farther. And I think that's something we need to just kind of talk about a little bit. The effectiveness of a rubber band is the stretch that's there, that stretch. It creates that rubber band to be effective. Think about it. You take a rubber band and you put it around maybe some mail or some paper or something, and it holds that paper together. But without that stretch, it's not effective. It doesn't do its job. It doesn't, if we can say, like reach its full potential. But it's in the stretch that it's able to reach the target and meet the goal and hit and fulfill its potential. I'm going to talk a little bit about something in my life, but I want to also say with you, maybe some of you are here, and you're in this time in your life where you're just being stretched. You feel it because it's a little bit pain now. And you really don't even know that it's going to save you some pain later because you're just kind of in it. You're just being stretched, and you don't know what's really going on. Realize that stretching is good, and I'm going to explain to you something that happened in my life that caused some stretch in the not-so-distant past, and kind of set us up for where we're going in the talk. It's been a long time now. About 6 or 7 years ago, I quit my job at the school. I was working at a church. And at the same time, my husband and I had only been married 6 months. And after we got married, we ended up having 2 children, which I call them man children because they're full-grown men. Ed's his oldest and his youngest son moved in with us. So we literally went from not being married to married and 2 boys, man children, in the house. And I quit my job. And in the process of quitting my job, Ed's company, who he was working for, not his company, company he was working for, was kind of closing, and we were feeling this push. Ed was feeling this push to start a company, largely because if he didn't, we would have no income. So he started a company called Covenant Contractors. And in this time, we had no money coming in except for any work that he did, and it was a little tricky maneuvering all of that and getting a business started and, you know, filling out paperwork and going to the cities and getting all that taken care of, and all of that costs money, and then getting an LLC, which costs money, and blah, 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 and down the road, and we did all this. And we were at Farm Fresh on Coliseum, I'll not forget this. We're sitting there, and we went into the store, and before I went, I checked, you know, your little app that tells you how much money you have in your account, and we had $27.79 in our account. And we need to buy a week of groceries for 4 grown adults. And I'm like, okay, ramen it is, you know, whatever it takes. And so we went in, we bought our groceries, and we came out. I look at my, I knew how to subtract, but you know, you just want to look at your bank account for some reason. So you look at your bank account, and you got 79 cents left. And in that moment, I cried. This is what I did. I don't know if it was a spiritual thing or not, but I just cried. I was like, it's Friday. That means we're doing nothing this weekend. Like, there are no weekend plans for us now because we have no money. And not only do we not have any money, but Ed has to go to work on Monday in Richmond because that's where we could find work. And I wasn't really sure how he was going to get there. So I was thinking, 79 cents is not a lot of money. And I started to kind of cry and freak out. And Ed's like, what's wrong? Now, Ed did not know that I was checking my bank account and worried about this. Ed doesn't worry about stuff like that. I worried about stuff like that. And so he's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? So I tell him. And as I'm talking to him about it, all of a sudden I realize about another thing that happened to me and about how I should not be crying or sweating it because, and my parents are here, I said this already, but I'm going to tell a story, and they don't know I'm going to tell a story. But my parents, when I was a child, did faith ministry, and what that meant is they didn't have jobs, and it's like family, it's like a generational thing. My mom stayed at home with 2 kids, my brother and I, stay-at-home mom, and my dad went back into the ministry, and that whole year, I want to say year of our lives, there was no money coming in, but what God would do for us. And we were just talking about this the other day. It made me think about this for the talk, is that things just showed up. Money just kind of came in. God took care of us. And I'm not saying that's for everyone, but during that time, we had really close friends. Friends that, like we would say at this church, you do life with. They're just the people that you would talk to, share with, tell your everything to. And they came up to my dad, and he was like, Harold was his name. He said to my dad, well, I know if you needed coffee, you tell me. And my dad's response was, no, I wouldn't. Because he believed that God had called him to this and that he wouldn't have to tell people what he needed, that God would just provide it. Now, that is risky, and that's kind of scary, and some of you might be like, that's crazy. But he just knew it. He just knew that that's what God called him to. And you know that time? That year, we had Thanksgivings and Christmases. And as kids, we didn't know any different. That was probably the best Christmas ever. We got an Atari. Someone gave us an Atari. It was awesome. We had Cabbage Patch Kid. Oh my gosh, I got a Cabbage Patch Kid. So many things happened that year that you just knew was like God's grace and God's provision. And it was stretching. And so in that moment with 79 cents in my bank account, I remember thinking, what do I know? And I know God is my provider. God would provide, no matter what. God was going to provide, and God did. Just amazing things of how God provided for Ed and I. And, you know, when you own your own company, you know how tricky it can be sometimes with money coming in and money going out, and sometimes it goes out a lot faster than it comes in. It's a day-to-day thing for Ed and I, that we talk about our finances and where that is and what that looks like. And it's not always perfect, and there's a lot of time where it's just dependent on God. But that story is all to say that today we're going to talk about someone who went through the same pilgrimage of faith and took steps in those same directions, and God was gracious and kind to him. Stephen talked about him last week. His name was Moses. And Moses, we all know the story of Moses in the Red Sea, pretty much. If you know it, raise your hand. Yeah? If you don't know it, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Moses was a guy in the Old Testament, and we know that the Bible is divided into two separate sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is about God and his people, the Israelites, and the New Testament is about his son Jesus and building his church. And Moses is in the Old Testament, and what Stephen told us last week was that he kind of was a guy with a lot of excuses, and he had kind of a shady past. So Moses, Moses killed somebody, so that made him kind of bad, and then he ran away and he hid. And then God called him through a burning bush, which was really interesting as well, because the bush didn't consume, it just was burning, and got Moses' attention. And then from there, God decides to send Moses on this adventure to free like 2 to 4 million people from slavery, which were the Israelites. So he has quite a big life. He's quite an important person in the Old Testament. So in the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, it's the book about God freeing these people, his people, from slavery. And we find Moses at the Red Sea. Now, this is a sea, right? I mean, I don't know if we know how big a sea is. I don't even know how I know how big a sea is, but a sea is big. And he's standing at the Red Sea. And just so you can fully understand what Moses is going through, Moses has the sea in front of him, this obstacle in front of him. Behind him, he has the Pharaoh and his army. Now, this would have been like the mega army, the army of the time. Like, nobody was bigger than Egypt and their army. And they're coming behind him. And to top it off, Moses had, like I said, 2 to 4 million people who were with him complaining. I don't even really like 2 or 3 people with me complaining. He had 2 to 4 million people complaining that, one, they were going to die in the desert, and two, there's a Red Sea, and three, there's this army going to kill us. What are you going to do? And this is what Moses says to them. In Exodus 14:13 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, stand still.'" I would be wiggling. I would be like, oh, this is bad. Okay, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever," which is a really long time, no more forever. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So Moses at the Red Sea. Now, we all know the ending to the story. If you've seen anything in the movies, pop culture, you know, we know that Moses gets to the other side, and it's a beautiful story, and they walk on this dry land, and everything is peachy, and the chariots and Pharaoh all end up in the sea. We even sing a little song about it in Sunday school. And it's a beautiful story. God's redemption, God's freedom of the Israelites, it's beautiful. But do you know what it took to get Moses from killing a guy to crossing the Red Sea and trusting that God was going to save these 2 to 4 million people that were with him? That's what we're going to talk about today. Stephen mentioned last week that when God called Moses, he had a lot of excuses. We've talked about that. Moses can make an excuse for anything, and that's kind of why he had to take his brother Aaron with him, right? So we know that Aaron's in this with him. I don't even know if Aaron signed up or if Moses is just like, send Aaron. And then Aaron's like, oh, shoot, now I'm in the story. That's how I would have been. I would have been like, darn it, now I have to go along with this. Shoot. Anyway, so Moses brings Aaron along, and God is just amazingly gracious to him, to Moses, and to Aaron, and allows for all of these things that Moses says disqualify him to do what God called him to do. All of those things that Moses would use as excuses, God just kind of takes away by bringing Aaron along. And instead of getting angry or picking a new person, He frees the Israelites through Moses and Aaron, and along the way stretches Moses' faith in a huge way. We start in Exodus 7, verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down from Pharaoh, before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So catch that. He says to Moses to tell Aaron to do something. Not Moses do something. Moses, tell Aaron to do this, and it'll happen. So that's number one, that he uses Aaron to do that. Moses just has to tell someone to do it. It becomes a pattern that God uses in the next few verses, in the next few chapters, of God just using Moses to tell Aaron to do something. And we see it in Exodus 7:19. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood." So at this stage, Moses and Aaron have gone to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, "No, I'm not going to let your people go." And God decides to send 10 plagues, and this is the first one. So Moses has not only gone to Pharaoh with Aaron, Pharaoh has now said no, and God tells Moses to tell Aaron what to do. Tell Aaron to do this, and Aaron does it. And then in Exodus 8:5, next chapter, the Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up out of the land of Egypt." So again, plague number two, frogs. God tells Moses to tell Aaron to do this. And yet again, in chapter 8:16, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." Third plague, Moses, all Moses is having to do is tell Aaron to do something. That's all he's doing. That's all his faith allowed him to do. Remember, this was the man that made excuses. "I stutter. I can't do this. I can't do that. Send Aaron." So God's like, "Okay, let me work through Aaron. Let me show you who I am, the am that I am. Let me show you that by working in Aaron. Give you some confidence." And we know that in the next three, we won't read those verses, but in the next three plagues, God kind of does things on his own, and Moses and Aaron are just God's mouthpiece, and these plagues happen. And again, it's showing that God is who God says he is, and building, hopefully, some confidence in Moses so that Moses can do something later on. Exodus 9, 8, and 10 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh.' So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses tossed it into the air." Moses. So now, we don't hear anything about Aaron. Moses is tossing something into the air. And I think, I should have kept going with that verse, but that verse talks about how the soot goes into the air and becomes boils on the livestock. So we're at plague number seven, somewhere like that. And Exodus 9:22 then says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand towards the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on people and animals and on everything growing in the fields.'" So again, Moses is now stretching out his arm and his staff and saying, and this is happening. And then plague number nine in Exodus 10:12 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that the locusts swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields and everything left by the hail.'" I hope you're seeing the progression here that's happening. We started the journey at the Red Sea. We're going backwards, and we're seeing what's happening in the life of Moses. And God took Moses on a journey to stretch his faith, stretch what he believed about God and what God can and will do. God did this on his own at the end anyway, but he used Moses and Aaron by commanding Moses what to do. The literal meaning of the word "stretch out," just so you don't know, it means to make bigger or extend or enlarge or make longer. Every time, this is my favorite part, every time Moses watched Aaron stretch out his hand, every time Moses' faith was being stretched. stretched a little bit. His excuses were falling away. He couldn't make up any more excuses. He was seeing this happen and play out, not just for himself, but for Aaron. His faith became bigger and bigger. God asked Moses to stretch out his hand, and every time he did, his faith level grew longer and longer, so much so that God saw that the faith of Moses had grown long enough to cross the Red Sea. It took all of those things to grow his faith long enough to stretch out across the vast sea to not only walk himself, but his family and the 2 to 4 million people that were enslaved with him. But it took steps. It didn't just happen overnight. And what's funny to me, I think God just has some humor and a little bit of sarcasm in him, because we're now at the Red Sea. Faith stretched to biblical proportions. And he's standing there, and him and the Israelites cry out to God. And this is what God says to him. This makes me laugh. 14 and 15, he says, "Why do you cry to me?" Hello, Moses. Why are you crying to me? "Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea." Just do what you've been doing, Moses, right? Just stretch out your hand over the sea. You've been doing it for the last few plagues now. Aaron did it for the other few plagues. Just reach out your hand. That's all you have to do. I just think that's God's way. And he's, you know, God's just being gracious and tender. And you know, it's okay. Just do what you were doing, right? It's like that in our own life. Life will have problems for us. It'll put problems in our lives that we can't overcome, that we can't see beyond. It'll be like Red Sea moments that just happens. It could be the loss of a job. Life could throw cancer. Life could throw an immediate surgery. Life could put the death of a loved one at your doorstep. It could invite sickness or divorce. Whatever it seems like that you might be going through, or you might even not know that it's there or that it's coming, but it's coming. The Red Sea moment always comes. It can be as big as the Red Sea or as small as a plague, literally. But they're coming. And unless we stretch our faith now in the little things, it'll be harder to stretch out and cross the Red Sea. It's what causes us to grow. And for that to happen, God allows life to kind of be a little rocky every once in a while. And life just has it in it. Not even so much that God would allow it, but God would allow for you to reach out your faith for sure. Do you know what stretching doesn't mean? I thought about this when I was writing this talk, that I spent a lot of time of telling you what stretching is, but I should tell you what stretching isn't. Stretching does not mean in any way, shape, or form to tear or to break. So if you're being stretched right now, take courage. Because it doesn't mean that you're going to break. It doesn't mean that you're going to tear. You may be at your limit. You may not be able to go any further, you think. And just so I make myself 100% clear, that tension is good. That pressure is good. You're going to go somewhere with your faith this tight, but God's not going to break you. He's not going to rip you in half. He's not going to cause any more harm to fall you. I believe that. That 79 cents in my bank account could have been an overdraft. He didn't allow for all these things to happen. He kept me. And stretching doesn't mean breaking. Stretching just means a little pain now to avoid big pain later. The big pain in stretching would be if we didn't stretch. So we've stretched a little to avoid big pain later. The big pain would be if you were choosing in the situation where you're looking at the Red Sea and we're like, "Pack it up, boys, let's go home, let's embrace Pharaoh." That would be big pain later, because Pharaoh would have been hot, very angry with them. In our lives, the big pain would be just not choosing not to stretch. not desiring to stretch, deciding not to put it out there. For those of you who are parents, because I work with kids, I'm just going to share this. You want your kids to stretch? Stretch in front of them. Be transparent. Be open. Be honest. You don't know where or what's happening? Let them know. You want them to pray and reach their faith out? Pray with them. Same thing. In these moments of stretching to avoid big pain, you need to be willing to stretch. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck where we are. We're going to get stuck looking at the Red Sea, and the chariots are coming. How do you get in a posture to stretch properly? Well, thank God for the New Testament, because the Old Testament's rough, okay? New Testament, lots of grace for God. And we love this person. We talk about this person a lot because the majority of the New Testament is kind of about him outside of Jesus. Paul is a prime time player. And a lot of the books of the Bible in the New Testament are kind of written with Paul in mind or written by Paul. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, where Paul says this. I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there's one thing I always do. Forgetting the past and straining towards what is ahead, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to the life above. In that passage, I just feel stretching and reaching all over it. I mean, he talks about it like in so many places. He's reaching, he's straining, he's stretching towards something that's ahead. He keeps going forward despite what is in front of him. And what's interesting about this passage is what's going on in the life of Paul. So just like Moses at the Red Sea, there's something going on in the life of Paul that makes this passage even more amazing. Paul is at the end of his life, and he's in Rome, and he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, and he's about ready to die. And he's saying, he's lived the book of Acts, he's gone on 3 missionary journeys, he's done some miracles and some signs, God has used him in a mighty way, and he's sitting in prison, and he's saying, I haven't reached it yet, but I'm still reaching. I'm still going for it. I still have something in me. I still have something that is saying, yeah, I got this. I can go further. I can go further while I'm sitting here in prison, rotting in jail, right? He's pushing. He's pushing beyond his means, and I just feel like that moment in the Spirit must have been powerful. He's like, I'm just going to keep writing letters. I got more in me. I got more in me to share. There's more that God wants to do in my life. That's powerful to me, that he just didn't give up. Woe is me, I'm sitting in prison. Woe is me. I got nothing else to do, ready to die, rocking in the chair. No, he didn't. He said, I have something that God wants to do in my life, and I just have to stretch for it, reach for it a little bit more. So, what does that mean for us? I don't even know how I'm doing on time. Oh, wow, I'm doing okay. Nice. There's no countdown clock, so I was really nervous today. So here's what we need to do to properly stretch. One, in the passage that Paul gives us, he says, forget the past. Forget your past sins, your past failures, your past accidents, you know, we all have those, your past mistakes. Forget about it. Just forget about it. Forget all of it. In order to go further, in order to go to cross the Red Sea, you have to forget Egypt. Egypt's a hot mess, literally. A hot mess. You don't need it. God doesn't want to keep you there. Let it go. Want me to sing? Just let it go. It's not worth it. You're to not only just forget about it, like, you forget all of it. Please, please hear me. Do not get stuck with some of it. Don't pick up some of it, some of Egypt, and just bring it with you. No, God doesn't want want you to bring any of that. Forget all of that. Cross your Red Sea. Don't let anything in your past hold you back. I don't know what it is. I know I got my own stuff. And guess what? It's in Egypt. I'm not going to bring it up here. I'm not going to take it with me wherever God wants me to go. It's back there. It doesn't belong with me. And it doesn't belong with you. 2, strain towards what is ahead. Whew, strain. I love that word. You want to stretch. I said this a little bit earlier. Parents, if you want to stretch, this is what you need to do. Begin with small things. Small things. Pick up your YouVersion app in the morning and read a verse a day. Let that spark something in you to create a hunger for more. And if you're beyond reading one passage, you're like, I read a verse and it just doesn't do anything for me. Read a chapter. Read until you get it. That's what I do. Like, okay, I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to move on to something else now. But just keep reading. If you want to strain, just flex your faith just a little bit in doing a small thing. And when you overcome that small thing, grow it even more. Stretch by praying daily. Maybe you don't pray except for when you need something, like, oh, dear God, help me. Try to pray in the morning when you wake up. Pray for your kids. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for the church. Always pray for the church. We could use it. I won't even lie. I could use it. Pray for me. You don't know what to pray for? Pray for me. That would be awesome. I give you permission to pray for me. Stretching your faith by praying. Praying. Stretch again if you even need more stretch. We do have a core value here called you can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. So stretch. Get with some people. Find some people that you can talk to, that you can, one, encourage, but that can encourage you. You know, join a group. We have them now for the summer, but in the fall we're going to be doing more groups. So sign up. Be ready to sign up. Get involved in a group in the life of others. It will, I promise you, will cause you to grow because people stretch us. And then if you are at that level where you're doing all those things, you're like, man, I still need my faith to grow a little bit more. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. We do next steps here. So maybe you're at a point where you need to do a baptism. Maybe you're at a point where this is not, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say it. You could give. Maybe you've never given to the church before. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Give. And if you can't give or you're not at that point, give of your time. Volunteer. Become an owner, not a spectator, which is another core value that we use. There are lots of things. Join a Make a Difference project and get out there in the community. If you don't know what to do, invite a friend to church. That'll grow you right there. The friends that know you when you were in Egypt. Invite them. That'd be awesome. The look on their face will be like, what? Okay. There's lots of stretching to be done. I can still stretch. Pastor Rob can still stretch. Pastor Stephen can still stretch. We all have stretch in us left to hit the mark, to go where we need to go. Just remember, I'm going to leave you with this. A little pain now will avoid big pain later. Let's pray. Father, you're so good to us that you stretch us, that you're patient and kind and compassionate to us to see beyond our excuses and our limits, to take us further than we've ever gone, to help us cross a Red Sea and leave Egypt and finally reach the potential that you have for us. Father, I ask that today you would show us what it is we need to do, that we would take 2 steps, we'd forget our past, and you would show us what we need to do to strain towards the goal. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. Be with him and his wife. Love on them as they're stretching for this place and for you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.